Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone here. Welcome to those online. Let's stand as our praise and worship together this morning. Hallelujah. God is great. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship your name, Lord. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Just open up your mouth and praise him. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God. You are mighty in our lives and you are great. Hallelujah. We welcome you into this place. We welcome you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We welcome you into this place. Sing all together. Oh, we welcome you, Lord.
Welcome into this place.
We welcome you.
Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the presence of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift.
Welcome you, Lord.
Welcome into this place.
We welcome you, Lord.
Welcome into this broken vessel.
You desire
to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up this praise unto
Oh, we welcome you, Lord, we welcome.
Welcome into this place.
Yes, Lord, we welcome you.
Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the presence of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up. Into this broken vessel, you desire.
Yes, Lord, you are holy. Yes, God, you are great. We worship your name.
Worship.
You are Jesus, now. There is no question, Lord, that you are God and you reign supreme. Every knee must bow before you, and every tongue must confess your lordship. We give you praise, Most High God. Thank you, Father, for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, for your anointings. Thank you, Lord, for the sufficiency of grace activated in our lives, that we once lost can now say we are found and we are in your presence. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see you all. You may be seated. The sound here is not good. It's very hollow right now. Anyhow, God is good? Amen. While they fix that. Thank you, worship team. Really appreciate your ministry. The word of the Lord is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and my what? A powerful word. That's found in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light. Say it with me, the Lord is my light. One more time, the Lord is my light. Say it again. One more time. So this Lord who is your light, when he shines, darkness cannot stay. When he shines, darkness got to leave. And he is my salvation. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation, I don't have to be afraid. Praise God. I don't have to be afraid because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Are you guys working on the sound? Maybe my problem is a monitor problem. I don't know. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I don't have to be afraid. Not only is the Lord my light and my salvation, it says the Lord is the strength of my life. So my life is not a weak life. Say it with me. My life is not a weak life. Say it again. Say it until you get it. That means that you're not weak. And if you're not weak, you're what? Why are you strong? You're strong because the Lord is your light and He's your salvation, and you're not afraid of nobody or nothing. Why? You're strong. What am I going to be afraid of? I'm strong. I don't have to be afraid. Wow. I want you to meditate on that. I didn't plan on doing this. But just before I stepped up, the Lord said, I want you to read Psalm 27. I don't know who is here this morning or who might be listening at this particular time, whenever this is going to be heard. But the Lord wants you to know that you don't have to claim weakness if He is your Lord. You have every reason to claim weakness. And you have every reason to be afraid if the Lord is not your Lord. If the Lord is not your Lord, be afraid. In fact, be very, very afraid. But if the Lord is your Lord, which means that He has ownership of you, He owns you, you are His property, then you don't have to be afraid, because He infuses you with His strength, His presence, His power. And therefore you can boldly say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because the Lord is the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you receive that this morning? The Lord is the strength of your life? Then celebrate with thanksgiving God's goodness. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is the strength of your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is the strength of your life. Say to them, you're not weak. You're strong. And you're not afraid. Other things are afraid of you. Because the Lord is your light and your salvation. Yeah. No room for fear. Amen? What am I going to do for my future? No room for that. What am I going to do about this? No room for that. The Word of God says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. When they thought they had me, they stumbled and they fell. Do an host should encamp against me. That's a great force of army. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In this will I be what? Confident. I'll be confident of this fact that the Lord is my strength. He is my light. He is my salvation. And then it makes a remarkable statement. I want you to see this statement. The man says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Not many things, one thing. What is that? Lord, I want lots of money. Lord, I want to be healthy. Lord, I want peace of mind. Lord, I want to marry a beautiful wife. I want to marry a handsome man. Is that what it says? One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. I desired it, and I'm seeking after it. What is that? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wait a minute. You said one thing. You've mentioned three things. You said that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I should behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Those are three things, man. Well, you're talking about one thing I desired of the Lord. And David will say, all three are one. Because when I dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, I will behold his beauty and I'll be able to talk with him. The house of the Lord. That's what the enemy wants to keep you from, the house of the Lord. But I'm glad that you made it to the house of the Lord today. Amen? And in this house of the Lord, you will behold the beauty of the Lord, and you will be able to make inquiries, ask questions, and receive answers. May everything that God has ordained for you to have today be received in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Mama to come at this time. Lead us in our time. And we will hear the word of the Lord. You're growing really tall. That's good. Huh?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, good day, everyone. Praise the Lord. All right, the Lord is my word again, and my strength, three things, amen? So, praise the Lord. May you take that with you today and always. Let us pray for our family, our children. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another wonderful day. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for our biological family, biological children, and their seeds and their spouses, and all our spiritual children, and all our extended families, friends and relatives, and children standing here before me. We commit every one of us before you, O God. From age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those in the womb, every single one of them, we call the name of the Lord upon their lives. We declare and decree that the Lord is our light and our salvation. The Lord is the strength of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid? Lord, we thank you that you are our strength and you are our courage. You are the one that keeps our life. You keep and preserve us in our going out and our coming in. You are the Most High God, and we are the children of the Most High. We are continuously and perpetually in safety. We thank you for divine health, divine wealth, divine peace, divine strength. And Lord, we thank you that we will stay in your house. We will inquire of you. We will seek after you. And we will find you. Lord, remember our families. Remember those that are sick right now. Heal, restore, and make them whole. Those in the hospital, you're already doing miracles. May more miracles happen until it's completed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you for being with us all week. Thank you for going and before and behind us. We're going to have a fantastic week. We're going to have testimonies, and we're going to have more than enough. And we will celebrate the Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name, children, we excel in school, in scholarships. Lord, godly children, goodly children, peaceful home, harmony. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, see you, children. Bless you. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you into our heart, into the service, into our homes, our city, our nation, our families, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, praise God. Before we read our scripture, praise the Lord. Apostle is back. We want to give God praise. Woo! Praise the Lord. And guess whose birthday it is tomorrow? Well, tomorrow you're not here. So shall we sing happy birthday? Sister Lindsay, come lead us in it. So I don't want to sing in, I sing in many keys all at the same time. So praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's wish him happy birthday. You know, we thank God for him. And we thank God he's here. And we thank God for all the years he's been ministering to us. And more to come, strength to strength, glory to glory.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you,
Apostle.
Happy birthday to you.
And many more. Amen. Remain blessed and highly favored, healthy, strong, bold, more territories for the kingdom of God. And blessings to you also. Begin to see what you sow for. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, our scripture reading this morning is going to be Mark 11. We already had some scriptures. So you read Psalm 27. So praise the Lord. Let's go to Mark 16. Mark 16. New Testament. So we're not reading all of it. There are 20 verses. So they started with the resurrection of Jesus. It talks about Mary and the others going to the tomb and all of that. But we're going to read towards the end of it. Let me see where we can start. Let's read from 11. So we're just doing like 9 verses. Verse 11. So at home, read the whole chapter. That's a very short chapter. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read together. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form Who's the days? If you read earlier, it tells you all the disciples, not one believed that Jesus rose. Not one of them. But Mary, they were told by the angel, say a man told them. So anyway, verse 12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Praise the Lord. So we know the resurrected body can change form. Hallelujah. So the resurrected body can change form. He said he appeared in another form. The same Jesus. So you recognize him when your eyes are open to see him. Verse 13. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Not only would they not believe, their heart is hardened. So it looks like all the investment the Lord Jesus has invested in them is like it's gone to ground zero. May the investment he put in us not become zero. May our heart not be hardened. Say, Lord, soften my heart and help me to believe you always. Say amen. Just like you read earlier, Apostle read to us this morning, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I don't know how many times I've read that scripture to us and talked about that. So you need to believe that once and for all. Don't need to question that anymore. He is my light. Amen? You have to believe that. So when we're reading about this, people say, don't mind them, they don't believe. If I was the one with Jesus, I ate with him, I sat with him, I walked with him, I'll never unbelieve him. But that's not true. So say, Lord, help me. Hardness of heart, because they believe not them which has seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that's your answer. Some people, why do I have to get baptized? The Lord said, do it. Even himself did it. So if you've not been baptized and you've been saved, you need to get baptized. You can ask and baptism section can be set for you. Say amen. So that's representing the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that believeth not shall be damned. May we not be part of that. Somebody say, I'm a believer. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Are there believers in this house? So you are in his name, you can cast out devils. You can cast out sickness and disease from your own body and from others. You can cast out the things that trouble your life. You don't have to tolerate them. Somebody said, I don't have to tolerate devils. Yeah, some people like them. They sleep with them. They eat with them. They talk with them. They think with them. Somebody say, I'm free. See, when you dwell in those negative thoughts, you are doing that. They're with you. May those things no longer be with you. Say, be gone in the name of Jesus. He said, in my name. So that's why we say, in the name of Jesus. Say, get. Or you can say, get. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So food poison can never hurt you. If they come in, your body will eliminate it. In the name of Jesus. Nothing God made can ever hurt you. You just have to believe it. Somebody say, I believe. Somebody say, anything God made can never hurt me. Yeah, so it's your part to do it in his name. Somebody say, I will do it in his name. So you must speak to the elements. speak to all things. Inanimate and animate objects, they all hear and they all have a voice. So they hear you and they speak, but let your voice override theirs. Say amen. So the sun shall never smite me by day, nor the moon by night. And everything they do, they can never hurt me. So that means anything in the environment can never hurt you. So if you stay in a radiation area, that radiation will never hurt you. Where the sun radiates radiation all the time. So somebody say, the sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. So whatever they are emitting can never hurt you. Environmental disaster can never hurt you, can never hurt me. Well, it's up to you. Say, in my name, do it. Amen? So in my name, Apostle went to the ends of the earth and came back, preached the gospel, where they are doing magic on saved people, ungodly people, people who serve all kinds of things. They got saved and they gave their life to the Lord. So we want to give God praise. Say, you also do the same. Say, in my name. Somebody say, in my name, I will cast out devils. I will cast out fear. Well, fear is of the devil. That's what the Bible says. So next time fear grip you with bad news, you say, get out of here. I only take good news. You're not qualified to stay in my head or stay in my space or stay in my family. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am free. All right, rise with me. Let us pray. Did I finish it? Oh, where did I stop? 18. Oh, okay. 18 says, they shall take up serpents. Now, don't be like there's some churches, weird ones, that go. They go look for snakes and they play with it. That's not what you're asked to do. Okay? Yeah. If serpents are in your territory and you want to get rid of it, you can get rid of it. But don't go start playing and putting snakes in your mouth. Yeah, there are people who do crazy stuff. And then that thing bites them and they die. They say it didn't work. Well, that's foolishness. Don't act foolish. Do what God asks you to do. Act in faith. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So if you go out, you can eat anywhere. Yes, a lot of people who are scared. Don't eat there. They poison you. Somebody say, poison doesn't affect me. Praise the Lord. You must say these things to yourself. But if you've not banked them inside you, you take poison, you will die. Somebody say, I will fill myself with the word of the Lord. So the word of the Lord will push that thing out. Amen. Say amen. Amen. So do things God's way and you are okay. Somebody shout hallelujah. They say, it shall not hurt you, so nothing will hurt you. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we pray for people and they recover. Amen? Hallelujah. Many have been sick in this ministry. Some look like skeleton. They turn around. Turn around and functioning just right. Lay hands on the sick. And keep doing it until you get your result. Say amen. So lay hand on yourself when you are sick. Say amen. Don't keep saying, my sickness. Say, I'm healed. The Bible says you shall recover. Lay hand on yourself. Recover. Somebody say, I'm recovering right now. You begin to say that until you get your result. So then, after the Lord has spoken, this is Jesus telling us he's going to leave. These are his last words. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And he's still doing it today. To God be the glory. Let us rise and pray. Father, we give you praise. Everybody rise, stand. You've been sitting for a while, so do a little stretch. It's actually good for your circulation. So move around, shake that your little leg a little bit. You know, praise the Lord. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, God, for your mercy, your truth. We thank you for your love, your everlasting love that you've loved us with. We thank you, God, for your word. Your word is life and your word is truth. We receive your word in our spirit. And Lord, that word is in our mouth and in our heart and is doing mighty things as we launch them out. Father, we give you praise for results. We thank you that you have raised a mighty people, a glorious church, a church without wrinkle and blemish, a church that know their God and do great exploits, a church that magnifies your holy name, a church that speaks the word of the Lord, a church that says the Lord reign, the Lord is our light and our salvation and the strength of our life. The Lord is the one who is the glory and the lifter of our head. Our head is lifted. Our head is lifted above. We are the people from above. And above, only people have victory every day. We thank you for a great week, a healthy week, and a mighty hand of the Lord moving through all our families, every church family, every family member, drawing them to you, causing them to walk with you, strengthening them, causing them to love you, and they worshiping you and giving you thanks. Victory is ours all week long, all month long, all year long, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you reign over the nation of Israel. We speak peace over the nation of Israel. We speak peace over Jerusalem. Peace and prosperity to her palaces. Touch your people, Lord. Strengthen your people. Remember your everlasting covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do what you say you will do. Magnify your name. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, carved in the palm of your hand. Israel, your firstborn. Remember your people, Lord. Your word says, all Israel shall be saved. We receive that salvation for the nation of Israel. And Lord, let it spill over to other nations. For your word says, out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. So we receive the same blessing for Canada, United States of America, Nigeria, Bolivia, Spain, and Hungary, in the name of Jesus. And all the nations of the earth, where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord, the isles of the seas and all first nations. We say, the Lord reigns, raise up righteous and holy leaders. Let righteousness exalt the nation. Let sin that is a reproach to nation be removed from our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, bring people who will call on the name of the Lord. Lord, you are coming soon. Let our nations not be found wanting. Bring revivals to other nations. Answer prayers. Answer your people. Answer the cry of the righteous. And rescue everyone who call upon the name of the Lord. We thank you for healing our church members that are weak. We declare and decree that they are strong in the Lord. Those that are sick in the hospital, that they are healed, restored, and made whole. We thank you for body parts are restored. Everything is working fine. Encouragement in their soul, in their spirit. And those that have traveled, be with them. Strengthen them. Let them go and come back in peace. And Lord, all week, touch your people. Bless Apostle as he turns another year. Blessings upon his life. Supernatural strength. Health to health. Victory to victory. Success to success. Blessing to blessings. You are the glory and the lifter of his head. Lord, so shall it be for every one of us. We thank you for your holy word. Let it come with power, with grace, with favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance, wholeness, restoration, and we give you praise. Bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who run to publish the word, telling somebody about the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Apostle.
Thanks. God is good. Amen. Before I get to the word, let me just give a quick report. As you very well know, I was away last Sunday. I left the Sunday before, after the service. I left for Asia. My going was a miracle, to say the least. I'd applied for a visa to go into this particular nation and took 8 months for the visa to be released. The enemy was fighting every which way he could to make certain that I don't go. On the day that the visa was released, and I called my host, he said, "Oops, we canceled the meeting already. We canceled the crusade." I said, "I'm coming. My ticket says in 4 days." He said, "Then we have to put together something real quick." I said, "Yes, you have to." So they went and they tried to reinstate the permit for the place where I was going to have the crusade, and they said, "Nope, we canceled it. You have to pay again. And by the way, I don't think we're going to give it to you." Okay, so they found another place. And on the day of, sometime around 1 o'clock, the meeting is supposed to start around 4:30. Crusaders. It started raining cats and dogs. Hailstorm. Messed everything up. And they came to me and they said, "We've got problems." They sent me videos and I'm looking and says, "That's where the crusade is supposed to take place. It's storming there." And while they were telling me that, like, the place is about an hour and a half away, I heard the loudest thunder clap where I was in the city. It was so loud. I think the devil was trying to get me to be shaken. Anyway, when they were telling me this, I told them, "The Lord didn't tell me the meeting was not happening. If it was not going to happen, he would have told me. He didn't say anything to me." So they said, "Well, we're going to try to move it till Sunday." I said, "Do whatever you need to do. This is Friday." So they tried to get the meeting moved to Sunday. And the permit people, the city, the police department said, "Nope. If you don't hold it today, it's not happening." So they said, "We're not going to lose all this money again. Plus, we've hired buses. And those buses, if they don't take the people they're supposed to take that day, you got to pay again." So I said, "Okay, going to have the crusade today." Well, we waited for the rain to stop. And then we headed towards the crusade ground. While we're going, they said, "Well, this particular group of people were there, and they were throwing stones at the people that were gathered there. And people are gathered there because we hired buses to bring them. So the buses brought people anyway. When we arrived at the grounds, are you ready for this? It is all wet outside this area that we're going to be meeting. But when we stepped into the place we are having the meeting, guess what we found?
Dry ground.
Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Dry ground. Oh, we serve an awesome God. And of course, God showed up and healed the sick on the stage with me. I didn't know it. I thought they were just all ministers, were a Muslim cleric and a member of parliament, both Muslims, sitting right behind where I'm going to be speaking. And they saw with their eyes the miracles of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. God showed himself strong. Hallelujah. So I'll say that, then I'm going to say this. I got to meet those that we've set free from slavery. I got to meet the ones that we've set free in the past. And I had $3,000 on me that I wanted to use to at least get 2 people free. And the Lord changed the plan. He said, I don't want you just to set one person free. I want you to buy them a vehicle called a rickshaw. So I started inquiring about this rickshaw. So, cut a long story short, all the money that I had that I was going to use for 2 people, one person owed that amount. But the Lord says, get that one free. So we're getting him free, but now we have to buy a rickshaw. Where's that money going to come from? Someone shout, grace.
Grace.
Everything I needed, God was providing. So we're able to buy a brand new vehicle and gave the man the keys. Hallelujah. Went to the dealership, bought it, handed the keys to him, and would you know it, the next day I was ministering to one of our churches there, and he drove his rickshaw 30 minutes to the meeting, and I had him pray. Praise the Lord. One service, because I met with 2 of our churches there. Hallelujah. So I did this service there in some kind of a big, I won't call it a tent completely, it's a tent, but it looked like a big umbrella, you know, really huge one, you know, and about, I think, 250 or some number were gathered underneath that tent. When we finished, they wanted some people baptized. So we went. I was trying to chicken out of the baptism. I wanted to pass it on to somebody else. But no. They were not going to accept that. Every excuse I came with. So I had to change myself in some... I don't want to describe the place. But that's where I went, and I changed and baptized these people. Praise the Lord. I didn't know. I was looking through the pictures, and I found out that one of the people I baptized was a man that had been in the brick kiln for 45 years. 45 years. Anyway, after baptizing, they started showing me these people that needed to be set free. So I told them, I can't make you any promises. I'm going to help any of you here. And I shut that plan down right away because I know I didn't have the money either. So I was just about to leave, and this couple, including this man that I just baptized, but I just found out looking through the pictures, and the wife, are pushed up to me. And I'm saying to the pastor who has oversight over some of our churches there, I just told you I'm not going to help anybody. Yes or no? You say, well, this couple, and the Lord says, take care of these ones. With what? So I asked them, who are you? And told me they've been there for 45 years and they didn't have any children. But they want to be free. So I left. I said, I can't make you any promises. I left and I inquired and I was told how much they owed. Would you know it? I had exactly what they needed. So the next day I went back an hour and a half, sat across from the man who owned them, and God granted me grace, wisdom. And this, you know, they are just business people. In fact, you can pay somebody's bill off, and if you don't get rid of them, I'm told they can sell that person to another brick king. Because they are all looking for laborers, workers. So as soon as we set them free, we take them out right away. So anyway, I was chatting and negotiating with this man and beat his price down a little bit. And did the Nigerian thing. He's asking for $220,000. I told him $150,000. He said, no. Anyhow, I bought them out. Praise the Lord. So they're starting their own businesses. I went to the homes of some of them that we've set free in the past. The first one I met was the man. Do you remember the guy with the arm cut off?
Yeah.
That was the first one I met. So anyhow, that was that. There was the baptisms, there was the miracle services, with God's healing power, touched people in incredible ways. Do we have some? Where? Just the list of some of the miracles. Okay. This man had serious back problems. He's had it for years and couldn't do that, but got healed. Amen. This one here, she had tuberculosis. This one could not see. Healings. We had 5,000 plus miracles. There was a lady, I don't see her, she had a tumor on her left arm for 15 years. This one could not walk for a year and a half. Her legs were bowed and she was running on the stage, that one. This, I don't see the picture of the one that had the tumor. 15 years disappeared like that. Boom, gone. The miracles of God. Amen? Hallelujah. This is the miracle services. Thank God for his faithfulness. This one had some kind of a disease, but the miracle had happened before I came. So he was just coming to testify of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Anyway, those are some videos. Many other testimonies were received. Praise God. This is the miracle service. This is the storm. You see the hailstorm? Praise God. Anyway, let's leave that alone, and so I can get to the message. All I have to say is God showed himself strong. I want to thank God for everyone that invested, gave of their dollars, and God will reward everyone, blessing you and your families, because your heartbeat linked up and aligned with God's heartbeat, which is souls. Amen? He was willing, listen, he was willing to forgo his throne, the Father, if Jesus messed up, because the only thing the devil did not have was the throne. He had you and I. He had the world. But he did not have that throne. He desired it. And for Christ to redeem us, Jesus had to be our champion. Hallelujah. And Father had to have faith that his son will do right. And his son won that battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to know the price for salvation was not cheap. And every time you and I invest in the kingdom of God, we are coming to agreement. So when we're talking about investing for souls, we're putting our all in it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Going, I know how much to get it done, because every soul is important. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I thank you, every one of you that gave 1,000, gave 500, you gave 2,000, whatever it is that you gave. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless your family. There are many other places to go, but the Lord will help us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much. Well, this morning I want to share with you from a passage of scripture that I was sharing from with our leadership team last Friday. It's about the first miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. It's found in the Gospel of John, the second chapter. And I'll forewarn everyone that's heard me speak on this last Friday and maybe other times. Don't assume for a moment that you know what I'm going to talk about, because the Word of God has layers upon layers. So I want you to pay full attention. If this is the place where the miracle, the first miracle of the Lord, is performed, then it carries the laws of first use. In essence, a pattern is set. And what is amazing to me in this passage of scripture is how interesting this pattern is. Because it tells us something about how things work in the realm of the Spirit. Well, In this gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, the word of God says, and the third day was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. I want you to notice the statement, the third day. And you've heard me talk about the third day in time past, that the third day represents the past, the present, and the future. This third day is, you know, just like here in the West, you know, Saturdays are wedding days. For the Jews, the third day is a wedding day. Now, why does the Lord point out this particular fact? I want to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 9, because we're going to have hint, hint, what the miracle is going to be. Because on the third day, God did a miracle of replenishing, of restoring. On the first day, he commanded light to come out of darkness. He separated the firmaments. And the Bible says in Genesis 1, and says, it says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. So, first thing God is doing on the third day is he's separating land from water. And in separating land from water, it says, let the waters be gathered together. So it was a command of unity, the unification of the waters. Are you with me? The whole earth was covered with water. Genesis 1 tells us. Remember that? So there's water everywhere. So where was the land? The land was underneath the water. And God said, water, come together so that the land can come out. The landing of your life and the placement of the place of growth and multiplication happens when there is a unification, because the word of God is also described as water. When you have a corporate understanding in yourself, there's a unification in you of what the word of God is. There's an agreement inside of you of what the word of God is saying. God will separate that which he's going to use as land to grow things in your life. But there's got to be first and foremost word agreement. Are we together? Word agreement. The waters are separated. He said, all the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Into what? One place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he, what? Seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed, after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself. After his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So two things happened. On the third day, God started separating one thing from the other. Amen? Land had to come out. Say with me, land had to come out. One more time, land had to come out. But for land to come out, the waters had to be what? Gathered together. The waters have to be gathered together. The word of God in your life needs to come together. Did you hear that? If the word of God is not together in your life, don't expect the land that is going to yield its fruit to ever come into place. You have to come from a place where you stop being double-minded. Hello? No double-mindedness. You come with the word of God, and you come into agreement with the word of God, and then the miracles will come to pass. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to John chapter 2. He says, and the mother of Jesus was there. I like that statement. The mother of Jesus was there. That means that she was at the place where the marriage was taking place. But I want you to see beyond just the general statement, and the mother of Jesus was there, to recognizing that she was there and not anywhere else. Come on, come on, come on. She was there and not anywhere else. There are people seated here right now. You're here, but you're not here. I can see somebody right here. She's here, but she's not here. If you're going to experience miracles, you've got to be present. Only people who are present receive presents. If you are absent, you cannot participate in the miracle that God is about to bring to pass. The mother of Jesus was there at the marriage feast. And the Bible goes on and says, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And both Jesus was called. If Jesus was called, then he wasn't there when she was there. Come along with me. The mother was there. Jesus wasn't there. Why wasn't Jesus there? Because he was not originally invited. And when Mary was there, I think somebody said, oops, Mary has a son. His name is Jesus. And that statement was called, means that it was not just a casual, quiet call. Hey, Jesus, come over here. It was a loud pronouncement. But Jesus has his disciples. And he comes to the wedding. And when he got there, The Bible says, and when they wanted wine, This word is an interesting word. It's the word hysteria, which reminds me of the word hysterics, laughable, funny. But it also means inferior. They wanted wine. And the picture that the Word of God is trying to paint to us is this, that lack and inferiority are connected. That if you feel inferior, you will not have the pizzazz to get. And so there's going to be a contrast. The contrast is this. The Bible says, the mother of Jesus says unto him, they have no wine. That word "saith" is an interesting word, because it is a statement not of asking one time. It's a statement to harangue. You know what to harangue means? That means that you are forceful, trying to make a point. And she is so forceful about it that the Lord says, woman, what business of ours is this? So they lack wine. So, but she kept at it. And even though the response of Jesus is, what business of mine is this? She goes to the servants and she says to them, whatever he says for you to do, do it. And the statement, his mother said unto the servants, is the same word. Consistency, almost like nagging. Are you with me? What picture does that paint? Luke 18 says, men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. And describes a man, a judge, and a widow. And this widow kept on bugging this judge and saying, you got to do something. You got to do something. And the Bible says, even though this man did not have regard for God or man, he said, if I don't do something about this woman's case, she's going to wear me out. And got on the case. The Word of God says, what do you think God will do, even though he tarries? 18:5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust just said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And that's what Mary was doing. Why is she doing this? Think about it. He's not done any miracles, at least not in Cana of Galilee. What is driving her to doing this? The Word of God had come together. You say, what word of God had come together? The word of God, when God said, this son, his name is going to be called Jesus, and he's going to save. This son, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. It all crystallized, it all came together. And she's saying, hey, if this is God here with us, then he, God, can solve this problem. You've got to pull the word of God together and generate the pathway for your miracle. As long as the word, this word is over there and this one is over there and they don't come together and they don't make any sense, then you will not get it. What have I done this morning so far? I'm talking to you about John 2. And I went to Genesis chapter 1. What am I doing? I'm pulling the word of God together. And as I pull it together, my faith is enlarged to believe God for things I could not. When I left here, I did not have all the money I needed. I did not. But I also knew this, that he's a God of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that if I go in obedience, some way, somehow, he's going to bring about the necessary results I need to bring about. I didn't know that I was going to help the 45 years, the couple that had been in the pre-king for 45 years. That was not part of the plan. I did not know that I was going to go and purchase a rickshaw. That was not part of the plan. But was it the plan of God? Did he know that was all going to happen? Sure he did. Now, if he told me that all of those things were going to happen before I leave here, I would start shaking in my boots. How am I going to do this and how am I going to do that? But you are there. And now that you are here, this is what is going to happen. And you got to pull yourself together. And when it was storming and raining in the ground, the statement that came out of my mouth, God did not tell me that. The circumstance was still the same. It was still raining. In fact, can you show me the, I think you were showing a clip of the rain. This is outside, and it is at about, this, you see, this is the ground. There are trees and stuff knocked down. That's the stage over there. Those are the lighting and stuff. It's a mess. How does that become dry land in 3 hours, maybe less? How does that become dry land? I don't care what kind of technology you've got. You cannot dry that land. Do you understand what I mean? Well, it's dry because people are on that ground. Because the God you and I serve is not limited. And what I'm trying to say to you is this. And I just don't say to you, I say to myself. My faith is not built on my circumstance. My faith is determined by God and His Word. If you allow your circumstance to speak to you, you will never accomplish anything. My circumstance must not have a voice. I must shut it down. Hallelujah. You must shut down because there are negative words. and thoughts being pronounced consistently where you are, telling you what is not possible. And as I said earlier, the word for wanting or lacking there is the word also for inferiority. You've got to understand that you are bigger and you are greater than any circumstance that the enemy has put in your path. Hallelujah. You got to settle that. No matter how long the challenge is, stick with it. Back to Luke 5 again. Or Luke 18 rather. I want you to see this in verse 7 and 8. He says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them," how? "Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Wait a minute. What was the faith about? The faith was a consistency of sticking to the request, even though the request had not been fulfilled yet. Did you get that? You know, some people say you just pray once and then that should settle it. If you pray two times about it, then you didn't have faith. That's a lie from the depths of hell. It's not the word of God. The word of God says in Mark 11, "If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say, or rather are saying, shall come to pass, you shall have what you are saying." The word is the word Lego. You know, you play with Legos, right? Okay, you build, okay? And the idea is an idea of building. You keep on saying and not doubting. Don't be building and tearing down what you are building and saying, it's not working. No, you put bricks together and you're tearing it down and you're saying there's no wall. Excuse me, keep on mortar, brick, mortar, brick. Keep on saying what you are saying and saying what you are saying. When you're saying what is right, believing what God said in agreement, then you get the result. It's not just a matter of I said it one time. Yes, there's a place for saying it one time and believing it, it's done. Praise the Lord. But many times it's about saying it again and again and again. Are we together? When the Son of Man comes, will he find you and I faithful? Still steadfast in faith, unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15. Word of God says in the last verse, I believe it is, it says to us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye" what? "Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I'm not laboring in vain. Well, I've not seen what I'm looking for. It doesn't seem like it is there yet. But the promise of God in verse 8 of Luke 18 is this: "Shall he not answer" what? "Speedily." Speedily. The fact is, it is a speedification. Speedify. That means it looks like nothing is happening and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. There it is. You may be facing challenges. It may seem like nothing is changing, but I can assure you of this. When change comes, it is fast, it is swift, it is quick. So what must I do? Be prepared. Be prepared. Your preparation is the manifestation of your faith. You cannot be believing God for something and not be prepared. Praise the Lord. Now come back with me to John 2. Ismael says, whatever he says to you to do, do it. The Bible says, and there were there 6 water pots. Somebody says 6 water pots of stone. After the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. That's about 20 gallons, 20 to 30 gallons of water each. Or 18:27. Jesus says, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. Now, to fill something to the brim means that you had an overflow. It cannot be defined as to the brim if there is even a sliver of space from the top of the cup. It has to have overflown so that it's level to the edge. Are we together? Somebody's not together here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm bugging somebody today. They filled it to the brim. In a sense, they obeyed the instruction to the full and beyond. Come on, come on, come on, come with me. They did everything that they needed to do plus. That's the result of being filled to the brim. And then he says, draw out what? Now. Now, a clear understanding of that would be, now draw out. That would be a good way of putting it. But it says, draw out now. And when I see sentence structures in the Word of God that make me stop, I think about it and say, is there something he's trying to say to me? And yes, of course, there's something he's trying to say. He's saying, draw out now. Praise the Lord. He's saying what? Draw out now. In James chapter 4 and verse 13, James says, go to now. Go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. It says, go to now. Stop this. Hey, Sarah, Whatever will be, go to now. I know. You've been praying about it. You've been crying about it. You've been all of this. But there's got to be a time that you've got to go to now. And you've got to draw out now and say, no more tomorrow. Now. Draw out now. Did you get it? You got to go to draw out now. Because until you go to the place of drawing out now, you will not get now. Remember Genesis chapter 1. The waters were gathered and then he got the land out. Huh? You got to go and get out what you need to get out to manifest the miracle. Every fruit, every tree, every seed which had a seed in itself. It repeated it over and over again. And one day we're going to go and visit that statement. The seed was in its seed. The result of what you and I are looking for is in here. The issue is an issue of manifestation. God called out light out of darkness. Darkness should not comprehend the light. How is it that we have light caught up in darkness? That's unusual. And God doesn't want that which is unusual to continue to be usual. Oh. We cannot normalize mediocrity. We cannot normalize inferiority. We cannot normalize lack. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor so that they can enjoy being poor? No. To heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. It is not for us to enjoy the negativity of our circumstances and think that's the way it's supposed to be. No. If it is not good, it is not God. Amen. If it is not good, it is not what? God. And all I want is what? God. The Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. He is the God who commanded light to come out of darkness. May God command. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was getting ready for service this morning, and the Lord said something to me that was rather interesting. I had to go and look at it. He said, this is the beginning of my miracles in Cana of Galilee. And then he said something I didn't expect him to say. He said, I didn't say this is the first time I did a miracle. And I said, huh? He said, this is the first time I did a miracle in Cana of Galilee at the marriage feast on the third day. I said, okay. What are you trying to say to me? He said, do you remember the miracle in Luke 5? I said, yes. when I turned, when I used to read the passage, I used to think, when they lacked fish because they went fishing all night and they caught nothing, that what happened that when he asked him to throw the net on the right side, that all the fishes in the Galilee just showed up, until he said, no, that's not what happened. I said, what happened? He said, I turned water into fish. I said, what? He said, yeah. That's how I created fish in the first place. I turned water into fish. So when I told him to throw it there, I turned water into fish again. He said, I did miracles. I healed Peter's mother-in-law in Luke 4, and people were brought to me and I healed them. He says, but the reason I put Peter's mother-in-law first is because her health was poor. And because she was not healthy, there was no food to take care of the people, me and my disciples. So I healed her, and when I healed her, the lack was taken care of. That's the first described miracle. Every other miracle, God, he brought the sick and he healed them all. He laid hands on them. He didn't tell us anything, but he tells us about Peter, his mother. And now he goes and he tells us about the miracle in the Galilee. He describes the miracle. Because the described miracles of God are always dealing with the issue of lack. He's got to change the setting of lack, whether it's the lack of health, the lack of wealth, the lack of peace, whatever good thing God has for us that we lack, God wants to turn that around. Amen? Now, my time is well spent, but let me say this. You know, they drew out water. They took it to the ruler of the feast that the Bible calls the governor. And while they took that cup to the man, he takes it because he was expecting water, right? Yeah? That's what he was expecting. No? What was he expecting? He was expecting wine. And so the water, based on his expectation, is turned into what he was expecting. The question I need to ask you and I today is this: what are we expecting? What are you expecting in your family? What are you expecting for this church? What are you expecting for me? What am I expecting for you? You're going to receive what you're expecting. If you're expecting some angry man who is going to be abusive to you, that's what you're going to get. Whether you're expecting it consciously or unconsciously. That's why certain people attract certain kind of people. Doesn't matter where you take them to, that's what they're expecting, that's the lie they believe in, and that's the lie they are going to manifest in their lives. He was expecting. And he drinks, but the amazing thing is that the water that became wine, the Bible says he did not know where it came from, but the servants knew. But the amazing other thing about this wine is that it was better than the original wine. And he calls the bridegroom and says, hey, when people have parties, they bring the best wine first, but you bring in the best at the end. And the Lord will say to you and I, is the same thing about my church. The latter glory is going to be better than the former. Hallelujah. If you think that the day of Pentecost was a big deal, you don't have an idea about what God is about to do. And we are not going to experience it as long as we think that the church is no good. Where our minds need to be right now is looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith and knowing that he's going to do greater things because he promised this. He said, the things that I do shall you do also, and greater shall you do. Why? Because I go to be with the Father. Amen? Is he with the Father? Then we should expect greater things. Do you know that Jesus is not going to come until we start saying, Maranatha? Come, Lord Jesus. It is when we are looking for him to come that he ends up coming. As long as you are still looking to the earth, the things of the flesh, he's not going to come. Hello? He's going to come when you're ready. May I say that again? He's going to come when? When we're ready and expecting. Now, you can expect the Lord to come problem and trouble free, or you can be like the Israelites in Egypt, being battered in their brick kiln, enslaved, and then crying out because there's a Pharaoh that's beating them down. And God remembered and sent his Savior. But guess what? The guy was out there for 40 years. We don't need another 40 years of this nonsense. We need to cry out to God now, expecting him and the splendor of his glory, allowing God's glory to be manifested in us and through us so that change happens all around us, so that the devil is the one begging for us to leave. Amen? We can play it both ways. You can do the Ephraim thing, which means double fruitfulness or ashes. And he was fully armed for war, and then when it was time to fight, he took off. Or we can be the people of God that determine, like a thermostat, what the temperature is going to be. What we're doing right now is thermometer. We're reading the temperature of everything. But God wants us to control it. Draw out now. Say, draw out now. The now is what becomes the wine. Did you hear what I said? The now becomes the wine. You know the word for now. It's an interesting word. It's the same word that we'll use for noon. It's a change. What happens at noon? Talk to me. What happens at noon? The sun shines the brightest. What else happens at noon? You change from AM to what? PM. And God is saying, it's time for change. You're expecting change. Hallelujah. Now, let me wrap this up. It's important that I say this. Why did he ask them to fill those water pots? I didn't know until he told me what. He said, son, when the water pots were filled, at the very beginning of the party, there was all kinds of wine in the party. He says, but when the people came and they washed their hands and their feet, the water pot was emptied and the wine was empty. I said, okay. So I asked them to fill those water pots because I was backing it up. I was backing up time. I was taking it all the way back to the very beginning to reinstate what was. And what was when those water pots were full, there was wine. Don't you like it when the Lord teaches you? This is not what you go learn at Bible school. You've got to be behind the veil, having talk with Father, and he'll show you things. He says, I declared that, and by just doing that, remember he said, it's not my time. By just doing that, when they took the water to the master of ceremony, the place was now refilled. The water for purification became the wine of renewal. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Are we here? We cannot have the new wine without purification. Come on, excuse me, please. We want the power of God, but we don't want purification. We want renewal, but we don't want purification. No, you cannot have that. You can only have it when purification is re-established. And what the Church of Jesus Christ needs right now is purification. There's too many charlatans running around, not pursuing the heart of God, not pursuing holiness, not pursuing the things of purity, but they want the power of God. You cannot have that. God is not a gigolo. You want the power of God, you want renewal, then you must desire purification. Be restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He backed up time to produce the miracle. May God back us back to the time when we were free of sin and every form of unrighteousness. At that time, when the first Adam had no sin, he had the capacity to name things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God says, that's it. Oh, shikalapu santri mako shikai. The Lord says to me, I want to get you, oh my Lord God Almighty. He said, I want to get my church to the place where they are not praying, but declaring prophetically. Representatives of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Calling those things which be not as though they were. Because we are in union with our Father. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I thank God that today is the last day of 66 years for me. Amen. And I place myself in the countries where they're already in 67, because 67, that means a new year. Hallelujah. Six is the number of man, but seven is the number of God, and is the number of rest. So I come to my rest in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good? Amen. Well, thank you so very much for participating. Rise with me. Say with me, I go to now, and I draw out now, and declare in Jesus' name that everything in my life that is not aligned to the will of God is immediately, at this very moment, in this now, transformed and made to align with the integrity of God's will and God's word for my life. I am blessed and highly favored. I am above only and never beneath. I lack nothing. I'm afraid of nothing. I am fully fulfilled because I am overflowing with the goodness of God. It is in the place of the overflow that the miracle is happening for me now. I am overflowing with the goodness of God, the word of God. And out of this now, my miracles are manifested. It is better now than it was ever in my life. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree it so by the authority in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. At this time, we are going to release our tithes, our offerings unto the Lord. Remember that your giving is important. And God will multiply our seed sown. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When you honor God, God honors you. When you seek His heart, He will reveal Himself to you in a fresh and powerful way. Be blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to share in communion now. If you are here and you have not received your communion elements, just raise your hand and the ushers will serve you immediately. Next Sunday, I understand the children have a special presentation. It's Mother's Day. We want to celebrate our mothers together.
Are we waiting for anyone? You all have your element? All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, this is the body of Christ broken for us, so that ours will not be broken. His Amen. Was broken, so ours is fixed.
Amen.
Somebody say, I receive wholeness.
I receive wholeness.
For my body.
For my body.
For my household.
For my household.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. This is a cup of healing. Deliverance, peace, the manifestation of the glory of God. The Lord said, as often as we take of this cup, we should do it in remembrance of Him. the grape from whence the wine came forth was crushed. Jesus represented that to us. Squeezed the blood of that vine out. We are taken of that precious blood. It's the blood of the Most High. As we drink of this blood, may we receive a transfusion of grace, of God's goodness. Take and drink. Amen. Let's make the funnel. Just lift your hand up to the Lord. Father, we've heard from your word today that there was a lack in a marriage. The marriage was about to fall apart before it even got started. But you came and you broke the backbone of lack. For you did not just turn water into wine. That was what they were lacking. You broke the backbone of lack. And so, Father, this day we come before you. You know what we lack in our spirits, in our souls, in our bodies. Lord, meet every need. Remove whatever does not belong. Our minds, our bodies, do not have any room for anything that is not of you. So we reject all that is not of you. And we thank you for pouring all that we need into us. We receive grace for all living. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And may the grace of God always abound towards you. May God turn back time and give you a restart. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Greater and better. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll say bye to those who are on Facebook and YouTube and Reddit and Rumble and whatever else. And we'll just want to say hello to those that are on Zoom at this time. All right.